The mortician, Glenn Dennis, he's getting way up there in age now, isn't he?
Yes, he's very frail. I believe he no longer comes to the museum. He's one of the founders, one of the three founders with Walter Hout and Max Littell. Both Walter and Max are gone, and Glenn is very frail. And
I think I met him at the 60th anniversary of Roswell, and that was several years ago.
Yeah, yes. He still would have been up and about at that time. He's in a full care facility. We had hoped to even visit with him this past December, and most likely to even say goodbye after all the years. And our association with Glenn goes back to 1990.
Tell us this incredible story of Glenn Dennis, the mortician. What happened to him? What did they ask him to do? What did he see?
Well, Glenn, his story is that he started receiving phone calls. He was an embalmer, mortician embalmer, mm-hmm. at the Ballard Funeral Home in 1947. I believe he was around 22 years old at the time. Started receiving phone calls from the air base south of town about how to treat animals or living tissue that had been living that was out in the desert for that had lain out in the desert for several days, and also if they had any child-sized caskets. And Glenn said that, well, they had one in stock, but they could get more from Amarillo, et cetera, et cetera. So he kept receiving these calls throughout the day from the airbase about how to treat beings that had, or someone who had been dead lying out in the desert. And finally he said, have you had aircraft accident? I'll get my stuff and I'll be right over. And they said, oh, no, this is just for future reference.
Yeah, they didn't want him to see anything, did they?
They did not want him to see anything. Well, to cut to the chase, the Ballard Funeral Home also had the ambulance contract with the airbase. They used the hearse doubled as an ambulance. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to be taken to the hospital in a hearse. That would not be a good
omen.
good thing.
No.
Anyway, Glenn took an injured airman, to the base hospital. The day that the impact site north of town was found. This would be July 7, 1947. And he noticed that the hospital area was buzzing with people he did not recognize, medical people. And so he goes in there and drops the injured airman off, and he runs into a nurse friend of his, who says, Glenn, you better get out of here. She's coming out of a side room with a towel over her face because she's coughing and wheezing. And she says, you better get out of here. You're going to get into trouble. And just then someone says, hey, you, who are you? And he says, well, I'm the mortician, blah, blah, blah. And they say, well, you better get out of here. This is the famous red-haired captain. Who I think we found, Don can address that. But so they escorted Glenn Dennis out of there in a rough manner and told him to get back to the Ballard Funeral Home, and they followed him all the way back. And all this time, Glenn is saying, you can't do this to me. I'm a civilian. You cannot do this to me.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we'll show you what we can do to you. And they just physically removed him from the hospital and sent him back to town.
And this nurse was distraught, wasn't she?
The nurse was distraught. She was just beside herself. And the next day, they met in the officers' club. And Glenn wanted to find out what was going on. And she said that there had been an attempted autopsy of alien bodies that had crashed north of town in a UFO. Like they called them flying saucers back then. And she was still distraught. She didn't touch her food. And she drew for Glenn a picture of what what they looked like on a prescription pad. And, you know, the classic, you know, large head.
The grays, right?
Yeah, the classic grays. And so she drew that, and she says, I got to leave now. I'm sick. Well, Glenn never saw her again. He kept contacting the where the nurses stayed, and he was finally told that she had been transferred.
Well, we really don't know, do we?
No. No, that's his story. His story has come under,
scrutiny?
Scrutiny. Intense scrutiny by skeptics. And he gave us a name for the nurse of this Naomi Maria Self.
You were never able to find her.
We were never able to find her. A lot of capital was expended in trying to locate her. And finally, someone went to Glenn, we cannot locate this Naomi Maria Self. There's no record that she was ever a nurse in the Army or Air Force or military or anybody by that name. He says, well, I gave you the phony name. I gave you a phony name.
Why did he do that?
Well, the story he gave to us, and we've quizzed him often on this, is that he promised her that he would never reveal her name. That's the story he gave her, that he gave us, that he promised her. We don't buy it. We never, well, maybe at one time we did, but after the investigation, we don't buy that. Don can fill you in on what we found regarding the nurse, because we do believe we have found her.
Okay, let's talk about that. And also, we're going to be bringing in Arthur Osupchuk. How old is he now?
He is 86.
86 years old. He's the last surviving member of that flight, right?
Yes, there was a B-29 flight. There were two flights flying out the bodies.